This is Unpacking Design, a podcast to help designers of all kinds better themselves in career, business, and life. Join me, Mike LaValle, and my co-host, Tim Ong, as we unpack the problems designers face every day. Welcome to Season 2 of Unpacking Design, Life Lessons to My Younger Self. Each episode this season is a raw and unfiltered dive into what we wish we knew years ago. Since we can't turn back the clocks for ourselves, we hope that these masterclass discussions will help you on your own journey. Enjoy. Hey everyone, welcome back to Unpacking Design. This is the 12th episode in a 12-part series, so it's the last one, and it's the Life Lessons to My Younger Self series, where Mike and I are each sharing six lessons that we've learned in our lives and in our career so far. In a previous lesson, Mike talked about making empathy your superpower, so make sure you check that one out and all the other previous lessons in this series so that you can get the most out of it. And also, make sure to share your favorite episodes with your friends. Today, I'll be talking about my advice to my younger self. If your life were a book, your actions would be your pen. So with that, the first mini lesson today is that no one knows where they'll end up, only where they've been and the moment that they're in. When I was back in architecture school and soon after graduating, I spent so much of my time thinking about my future. Most nights before I fell asleep, I would always wonder about all the different opportunities that I wish I could have. And I would fall into this dream where I would get to live it out. And I would get to see all the success that I wanted in my career. I spent so much time as a dreamer that I focused less of my present time on learning, teaching, and growing towards those desired outcomes. Eventually, I realized that the only truths in my life are the decisions and actions that I've already taken and are now in my past. I can reflect and I can learn from all of them so that they can inform the decisions that I make in the present moment. I now know that it's more important to know what I've accomplished, what I'm currently accomplishing, and to have goals to guide where I'd like my accomplishments to lead. So I'm curious, Mike, when you think about your future and you're brainstorming everything that you want to do, how do you actually come up with your action items and where you want to be?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great topic. I often think of and have been sort of using the same kind of metaphor that you have for this overall discussion today for my own life in terms of thinking of your life as a series of chapters in a book, and that the book is the kind of the life that you're writing for yourself, right? Almost. And I think that it's not something that I recognized until the last couple of years that was necessarily the case. I always lived in the future and lived into the what ifs and the maybes and the I hope this happens for me kind of mentality, where I wasn't very present in the present. And I feel like the way that I thought of the future was essentially that I had a given destiny to, especially I thought this in high school and in college and a few years after college, once I was kind of in the real world, I felt like I had a destiny. I felt like I had something that was maybe not predetermined, but prescribed for my life, and that I was going to make these grand decisions and epic choices, and that it was all going to work out because I was confident in who I was, and that I just believed that I was destined for big things, whatever that means. And I think what has happened over time, especially as I've gotten a little bit older and recognized that time, I don't know if you feel this way, Tim, but I think a lot of people might resonate with this. As you get older, you perceive time differently, and you perceive time differently in terms of it feels like it was yesterday, a year ago, you know, like it, we're recording this at a given point in this year in 2021. And it feels like I can just remember what it was like to be back in my, I was actually living in a completely different place a year ago, but it feels like I can remember what that smells like, feels like to be there. We were probably doing something similar like this, recording some kind of episode of Unpacking Design, if I, you know, like, but I can remember what that felt like. And that sense of time, a year is 365 days, but it feels so much shorter than that as you get older. And I think that as that has happened, the way that I think about my future has also changed as well. And the way that I plan for it has changed in terms of where I want to be. I personally have tried to be more cognizant of the systems that I create for myself on a daily basis to get me to larger, more impactful goals for where I want to be. So as an example, I try to be active at least once a day. It doesn't necessarily matter what that exercise is. It doesn't even matter if it's formally an exercise. Yesterday I went for a 30-minute walk, and that counted as something to be active for because it was a deliberate action to improve my health and to maintain my health. And it doesn't always have to be the most intense thing. Some days I'll have half an hour to an hour rowing sessions, and those are crazy with my rowing machine. And they kind of kick my butt a little bit, but it's more about maintaining this idea and these consistent systems, whether it's for health or whether it's working on, you know, creatively. You know that I'm working on a book, so I'm in the middle of a class actually to help me with my writing, which is also then something I'm doing every day beyond that. So I'm writing, you know, I'm writing on average, at least during the course, like 2,000 words a day. And it's a lot. it's a lot, but it's something that I think is helping me become a better writer. And I think ultimately the goal for me is being created in those moments, in those frameworks, in those day-to-days now, where I'm ultimately going to end up with a tangible thing like a book or like a new blog or whatever, you know, that I create out of the systems and the frameworks that I'm making for myself now. And that's very different than what I used to do, where I would say, I'm going to do this grand thing and get a job in 3 or 4 years that is the best job I could possibly have in the architecture industry. You know, I used to have goals like that where it was like, I'm gonna leave this city behind, this small town of Buffalo, New York, and I'm gonna go conquer the world. You know, and I would have these big lofty goals, and some of them were so nebulous that I didn't even really understand what they were. And I think that what it's become more for me is trying to treat each day as something that can be a little less perfect, but still impactful to the general trajectory that I want to be on. Like, I ultimately want to write a book, so I want to get better at writing. I want to have a healthy life, so I want to keep maintaining my health. And I find that the systems that I try to create for myself every day are really working towards that future.
Yeah, I love how you put it, because you touched on this idea that resonates with me. It's this idea, and I'll explain it through an analogy. It's the idea that when I used to think about my future, what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be, and all the success that I could have, I would always think about it like when you watch a cooking show on Netflix, like Chef's Table, and you see a meal and you say, I'm going to make that meal, right? That is the dream that I used to have. It was the meal. I didn't have the skill to cut the meat the way that they did. I didn't have the skill to chop all of the vegetables. I didn't have any of those skills yet because I haven't learned it. And I haven't had the experiences that would make that one goal a reality. Oftentimes, I find myself, or I used to find myself, in a position where I would always think about the future as if it was this finite thing that I could attain without considering the fact that I haven't even practiced the skills necessary to be at that point. So when I think about that analogy, and you think about that end goal, that dish that you want to have, if you want it to be at a masterful level, not only do you need the skill, you also need to have practiced that skill enough to be able to have consistency with the kind of chops that you're made, that you're doing, the sizes of the things you're cutting, the saucing and your taste and all the different things that you want to put into that dish. You need to have that experience to have gotten yourself there in the future. It's too often that we apply the things that we see around us, the people we admire, the success that others have had, and we try and create this vision board of that same vision, but for ourselves. And we lose sight of the important things in the present moment, the things that we need to be doing today to actually figure out if that vision we have is clear or if it needs to shift and evolve. I found through all of the experiences I've had with setting goals and these visions that I actually need to take a moment in the present time to pursue all the skills, to pursue all the experiences that I need to have in order to get me to that point. And as I do those things, I always find that those visions were actually so blurry because they never actually applied to me and what I truly wanted. So as I pursue these things one by one, those visions get clearer and clearer and clearer because I refine them based on what I've learned through the experiences of today. And I look at my past for all the failures I've had and all the success that I've seen, because the past informs the things I've enjoyed because they're the things I'm still continuing to do. So it's this crazy idea that if you look at the timeline of your life, your past can be a representation of all the things that you've already accomplished, all the things you've already failed at, all the lessons you've already learned. The present moment are the decisions that you make based on all of those things combined. You don't want to keep making the same decisions that failed before, so you use your past to inform the decisions you make today. If you found success in the past, it's similar. You want to apply the same decision-making skills to having the same success or better success now. And as you do these things, they're working towards that blurry vision of your future that you evolve and evolve and evolve until you find yourself living that in the present moment. We can always dream of a future because it helps guide all the decisions we make towards it. But you also need to recognize that you have accomplished and gotten to some place that you might have thought about 10 years ago that you're currently in right now. And you need to acknowledge that and continue making decisions towards the next 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. And so that's a place where I want to transition. But before I do, Mike, I don't know if you wanted to add to anything that I was just saying.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would add there is that when we, and I got into this trap a lot, and I think this is kind of what you're talking about here, where I think it's important to see where you came from to understand either what you did right, what you did wrong, what you could work on, what you could improve, how you could evolve. I'm all about, I named my blog Evolving Architect. So I believe in the evolution of somebody's life and how they can grow and learn over time, right? I think that I got trapped into thinking that I was never allowed to experience the present because I was always worried about what I needed to be in the future. And that trap caught me for several years to the point where I think that's, I hadn't thought about it this way until just now, but I think that's one of the things that actually burned me out because I was never able to appreciate the, and it's something that my wife, Jessica, has mentioned several times to me over the course of our relationship, where I have difficulty just relaxing. I can't turn it off sometimes. I can't turn off that ambition, that drive, that ability to, or that desire to work towards a future, as though the future is this goal that I can obtain. But the reality is that I've obtained it several times. I'm just not paying attention to it sometimes. And I think we might talk a little bit here, Tim, about the idea of happiness, but I think sometimes people equate this idea of either creating that meal that you were talking about as happiness. Like once I obtain that thing, I'll be happy. Once I get that thing, I'll be happy. I'll have achieved that thing that I always wanted in my life. And as cliche as it is, I really do feel like it's about the journey, not the destination. So I think that when people say that, what they're really saying is that it's about being present, taking lessons from the things that you're learning in your past to influence your future, but not dwelling on either the future or the present. There's an analogy or an old saying too, that's kind of vulgar. So I apologize, but if you have one foot in the past and one foot in the future, you're pissing on the present. And I think that that's kind of something that we just need to be aware of as we live our lives.
Yeah, that's a really good point. For the way that I'm structuring this talk, it's definitely focused around this idea that we don't spend enough time acknowledging the present moment. That many of us who have gone through design school, we're always thinking about how to make something better, 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 better. We never actually say, this is enough. And that's one of the goals of this lesson to my younger self, to get myself to acknowledge that the things I'm doing today at the best of my abilities today is enough. That the next thing I do will be a little bit better, and that's enough then too. And the moment I can start accepting that is the moment that I can find happiness in the work that I do. Because if you're constantly pushing yourself and saying, it's not enough, I'm not there yet, you'll never be there. Because you haven't even identified where there is. And when you identify where there is, you need to identify the subset goals that get you there. It's not that you set a big goal and you're going to get there. It's not the eventual, right? If it's a 10-year goal and you're constantly working towards it, you might burn out. It's about the little goals that work towards that bigger one. And so that's a good place to transition to the second mini lesson in this last episode here for this series. Discover your life through the actions that you take. Once you have an idea of the possible future that you want to have, focus all your actions in the present moment on getting you to that point. By putting yourself in a position where you're consistently working on ideas that build towards your future goals, you inevitably develop the required skills that you need, a refined idea of what the future vision looks like, and a better understanding of the things that you never would have considered. 3 years after I graduated, I got licensed as an architect, and I decided to stop my in-depth future planning and instead set long, medium, and short-term goals. My long goal focused on my big idea of eventually starting a business. My medium goal was to work towards clearing my financial debts from school and from buying a house and my car so that I could focus on doing what I love. My short-term goals focused on exploring new skills in areas that I thought would be important to creating my future life and business. And this is where I met Mike. We started off by blogging. We learned social media together. We got into some marketing strategies together, started writing, speaking, product design, video content, and other things. Each one of these areas taught me new ways that I could combine my love of designing architecture and products to grow my network and to build an audience. Eventually, these different skills started to merge to the point where I could see the ways that I would personally develop my own brand and my vision of what I want to create as a business in the future. Everything started to become a little bit more clear. So for me, setting all of these goals were important. The long term helped me identify that direction. The medium one helped me figure out what I need to do so that I can continue doing the things I love. And the short term goals focused on learning new skills and practicing the ones that matter toward that long term goal. And as I learned through that process, the long term goal was open to evolution. If it no longer aligned with how I felt, I changed what business I wanted to start. For example, it started off as an architecture firm. I wanted an architecture firm. When I think about it today, knowing what I know now from the things I've learned through these experiences, I no longer want to just have an architecture firm. I want to have a design firm. One that focuses on products, one that focuses on architecture, and one that focuses on helping the next generation grow. All of these things all came up because of the short-term goals. All of the present moment things that I'm doing, all of the skills I'm learning, all of the practice I'm putting in, and not caring about how someone else thinks about that design. It's all about what I'm trying to do, designing spec projects of today and figuring out who I am as a designer. So Mike, I'm curious to know on your side of things, how has goal setting and exploring different creative pursuits outside of architecture helped you identify a possible future in writing and building your own personal brand?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that, let me back up a little bit because I think it requires some context of how I got to how I set goals today. So Tim, you and I have been sort of on this creative journey in this format, whether it's what you want to call it, blogging, education, podcasting, being a presence on the internet for a while. And I think that when I started, I remember having these goals, and maybe even a little bit before that, I had these goals that were very long-term. I had sort of medium-ish term goals and I had short-term goals. I found though that when I had too much focus on the long-term goals, like they were always in my mind, I wasn't really achieving them because they were too far out. It didn't make sense to focus on them. And ultimately it became more stressful and anxiety-ridden in my mind to worry too much about what's going to happen to me 10 or 15 years from now. Because to be perfectly honest, I didn't know you existed 10 years ago. So like, it's not like I could have planned that we'd even be recording this right now, you know, like in those kinds of things, that kind of serendipity or sort of idea that things will happen to you in your life that will change the course of it for good, bad, indifferent, in ways that you can't anticipate. You have to kind of let that magic sort of set into what could happen in your future, right? A little bit. But in terms of the goals, I think you're talking about even like setting like idea boards and creating this vision for yourself. I do have general kind of almost like life bucket ideas of what I want to do in my life. Like I have always, and it will be like something that I really pursue at some point more heavily, is I really want to design and build my own house. And it's like always been, it might even be like a foundational reason of why I want to become an architect, where I really want to do that as something in my life where I've used all the knowledge I have to create and build something that I inhabit, that I live in, that I experience, that is entirely mine. That doesn't have a timeline on it though. It doesn't have like I have to do that by the time I'm 40, you know, or I mean, I'm running out of time if that's the case, but there are those kinds of goals, or there are career goals such as I would really like to be owning, either be a partner in or own my own firm at some point. And that's always been a thing for me as well, for a major career goal. But again, that does not have a timeline anymore. I think it used to. I think when I was driving myself a little crazy with my goal setting, I tried to create that, oh, well, I'm going to be one of these architects that goes off on their own when they're like, they don't even have their license yet. They just practice until they can, you know, start, you know, I don't know. They just go and go and go. Like I have some friends who, their goal was to own their practice. It's their only singular goal. They wanted to own their own practice even before they were licensed. So they started their own business, they designed things, and they got licensed. And as soon as they did, they started creating architecture. That's not me. That's not as something that resonates with me, but I do resonate with that idea in the long term. Medium-ish goals have been sort of more financial based. I've been really trying to, especially in the last couple of years, create financial freedom for myself to get me to some of those longer term goals for myself. And I think that's important. I see it almost like stepping stones, like the short term goals, and even the way I described the framework of being present every day, those feed into what helps my medium term goals, which then help my long term goals. And I think that's kind of how I see it now, where it's, I know vaguely what my medium term goals are, and I know vaguely what my long term goals are. But I think overall, I go back to this idea of my short term goals dictate everything. So when you talk about going back to your question, how is goal setting and exploring these different creative pursuits outside of architecture help me identify a possible future of writing and building my own personal brand? I have just dabbled and experimented so much in the ideas of what my short-term goals really are. And I think I mixed and matched for too long what a short, medium, and long-term goal was, so that I was unable to focus on really what my short-term goals should be. So I'll give you an example. My 2021 goals are broken into three categories. I have personal goals, I have career goals, and I have creative goals. And I only have two for each of those categories. And they are all of them, I mean, are pretty straightforward ones that I can do passively over time. So I'll give you an example of a personal goal. I want to read 26 books this year. I've already read 15 by the time we're recording this, and we're not even halfway through the year. So I feel pretty good about that. And that's something that I can manage, and I can sort of work within that goal. And it's pretty easy. My creative goal is a little bit more nebulous, though, but it's still a short-term goal. It's just write and publish a book. That could mean the book that I'm writing. Hopefully it is the book that I'm writing. It could mean sort of what we're thinking about in terms of packaging all this stuff together for this series on lessons. And I think I'm open to what that really means. I'm still pursuing the idea of writing and creating in the short term. And I think that is sort of what matters to me the most. I'm looking at all these different pieces, and as I go, I'm taking what I like, I'm leaving behind what I don't. I'm just working, though, really, I'm really trying to focus ultimately in the short term. And I think that kind of, I don't know if that directly answers your question, but I think that the short-term goals are the things that excite me the most, and they're the things that are the most tangible in some ways. So they start to influence maybe the decisions that I will make 2 years from now. If I, as an example, and I'll let you get back to this because I feel like I'm running on here a little bit. If I am learning how to better write by taking a course, by improving my writing and writing every day, I feel like that is making me it's giving me more power and more energy towards my medium goals. I can either go down the path of becoming a writer and creating that financial freedom that way. It gives me options to do it that way. I could become more of an influencer in the ways that I'm writing about, or I could use writing to become a more communicative architect. I mean, I think that by creating these short-term goals of writing a book, as an example, of pursuing these things daily and writing the word count, or sitting in the chair, as I would refer to it, for an hour every day, those things help me and give me more power and give me more choices that I can make later. And that's ultimately what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, the it all makes sense. And the reason why I asked the question the way that I did is because you and I are trained as architects. We're licensed. We're still working at an architecture firm full time. But on the side, there's so many things that you and I are pursuing that go outside of architecture directly, because we identified other skills and areas of life that we were curious about. And if we simply had a goal of being the best architect in the future or something like that, we might have only focused on architecture for our entire lives. But because we identified other areas of interest like blogging, social media, helping others, teaching, writing, and we actually spent time exploring those areas, we were able to craft a future unique to us. And that is the most important part of the entire thing in this lesson, that you need to try new things and you actually have to do it. You can't just plan to do something. You have to try it. Once you start doing that, the experiences that you get, they start to inform who you could be and they start to inform the future that you want. More than anything else, for me, I wanted to become that successful architect with an architecture firm and all this stuff, but I never identified how I could actually get there. Because you and I tried all these things with social media, we tried all these things with strategy and marketing, all this stuff, with failed brands, with successful brands, with things we were building just for fun on the side as a hobby. I could say that you and I have identified ways we would start and build a firm. Without that knowledge of other areas that traditional firms today don't invest time and money into, that we now have knowledge of, we're a bit ahead of the people who are reluctant to make change. And so in that sense, I'm glad that we stepped out of just the architectural realm with our short-term and medium-term goals. When I think about my goals, I now have an indefinite long-term goal. Indefinite in that I give myself a timeline that is open. I say, it would be nice in 5 years if I were at this point to start a firm. Instead of saying in 5 years, I'm going to start a firm, because there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. And it makes me feel like I can't change or evolve that goal. And in my medium-term goals used to be five-year goals, but now they're actually 1 to 2 year goals. They're generally the annual goals that I set. And they're big things that will take a lot of time and will be challenging to achieve. Then my actual short-term goals are the tasks I do every day, because now I can focus on working towards those things. And so for me, it's just fascinating to see how stepping out of the field that we studied and worked in helped us gain skills and techniques and knowledge in areas that we can now apply to the things we do every day. And I don't know if you want to build on some of those ideas before I jump into the next and last mini lesson here.
Yeah, I would just build on what you're saying here and say that I didn't really notice this, but the skills and the goals that I have that I want to develop for myself over the next year, or I guess during 2021, have little to do with actual architecture, the six goals that I have for myself. And I think that that's important for me to say, because I think the one thing that I've learned that has been very valuable to me, Tim, that you're kind of talking about, is I have learned more about myself through the process of trying things other than the, let's call it the primary vehicle that I've chosen for my career, which is architecture. And I'm able to apply those lessons in a way that I wouldn't have guessed I could have before I started down this journey, whether it was with you and the podcast or writing a blog or doing any of these activities and pursuing these things. I've learned a lot about business. I've learned a lot about what it means to relate to other people, or at least try to, and what it means to really find my own voice. I think that the path that we have sort of sculpted out for ourselves is, it feels more possible. Like the way that you get to some of these long-term goals feels much more possible to me, because of the diversity of the skills that we're learning, the goals that we're setting for ourselves. I think it's really interesting what you just said too, where your short-term goals are almost like your daily goals. And I don't necessarily know if I've ever thought about it that way, but I really do. I mean, I have like a, I don't really call it a to-do list. I call it a today list. And I check it off. I use this little page in Notion every day, and I check off my two or three things I want to do every day. And it keeps me grounded, and it keeps me in those frameworks and those systems. But half of them have nothing to do with architecture. They have to do with these other pursuits or these other goals that I'm setting for myself that are kind of that 1 year, 2 year term thing that you're talking about. And I don't think I would have even had this mindset if I hadn't pursued all these other things. So I think it's really valuable to pursue all these things.
Yeah. And so I'll transition now to the next and final mini lesson of this episode, and also of the entire series that we started here. And for this particular one, it's not going to end with any questions to Mike. It's not going to end with any additional things. This is actually just a manifesto, or just something that I would have told to my younger self as a sage now to my unwise self back then. And so the last mini lesson here is that every book has several peaks and valleys. As you go through this journey called life, there will inevitably be multiple peaks and valleys that you celebrate or mourn. Whether it's finding the love of your life, starting a business, getting financial freedom, or the passing of a loved one, losing a job, feeling lost and confused for a long time, everyone will eventually encounter a moment that affects their ideas of the future. It'll be good or it'll be bad. This is because life is organic. There's no way to control every aspect of every moment. The only thing we can control are the decisions we choose to make every second of our lives. Each of those decisions, whether we believe it or not, influences the future that we will have. Bigger decisions will have a bigger impact, and vice versa. The most important part of living your life is to embrace the changes that come with it. Acknowledge the moments of defeat and learn from it. Cherish the moments of success, the support of the people around you, and the things that you work so hard to achieve. Make every moment of every day worthwhile. Know when to take a break, when to push yourself to the limit, and work towards that vision that you dream about. No book knows its ending until the chapters are written. So if your life were a book, let your actions be your pen. We hope you enjoyed this 12-part series where Mike and I shared our life lessons to our younger selves. Make sure you share these episodes with your friends and let us know your thoughts on Instagram and on Twitter.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. Check us out anytime at unpackingdesign.com.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.